Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us. You know what time it is. Tax time rolls around every year. You can't deny it. It's an inevitable. Well, helping us this year, it's a pleasure to welcome Barbara Weltman. She's a contributing editor with J.K. Lasser, jklasser.com. And if that sounds familiar, yeah, that's that enormous big book, J.K. Lasser's Your Income Tax. And there's a new version this year, Your Income Tax 2017. This is the one you need to help you get ready for your 2016 tax return. Barbara, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
This book has been around forever, I think.
Well, not forever, but since 1939. So that is a long track record.
At least my forever, then. And this is that great big book, red and yellow, enormous paperback. And I hadn't seen one in a couple of years, and I ran across it. And I got to admit, I'm just thoroughly impressed with how thorough the book is.
Well, we try because we update it every year. And not only do we update the book, but if you go to jklasser.com, you can find a free online supplement that updates the book for anything that's happened since publication, because we know taxes don't stand still.
No, they don't. In fact, I want to talk with you a little bit about that. But there's a lot to cover in this book. And I really think it makes a tremendous reference book, because we shouldn't just be thinking about taxes this time of year. This should be something that we should consider at various times throughout the year. We should prepare for it. And if you have questions about taxes, this is just phenomenal. I mean, there's like 25 pages or so of the table of contents.
It's really designed to just make you smarter when it comes to taxes. So that, look, most people don't necessarily fill out their returns by themselves with paper and paper forms that they used to do in the past. Most people file electronically, and they do so either using software, cloud solutions, or a paid preparer. But you're so right in saying that it's really up to us to know about taxes. It's our responsibility. And if we don't know about the rules, we could be missing out on some valuable opportunities to save us a lot of money.
Yeah, the point here is that whether you're using software or a CPA, a paid preparer, that's all fine, but they can't invent things out of the blue. You've got to provide them with some information, and that means you need to have some knowledge. And of course, that doesn't mean you have to memorize the tax code, but it does mean that this is a very helpful reference, so that if something comes up and you think, huh, I wonder if I should save the receipt for that, if it would be tax deductible, you can very quickly look and figure it out whether it's something that's important or not.
Precisely. For example, if you give to charity, you are required by law, just having your canceled check may not be enough. If the donation is $250 or more, you're required to get a written acknowledgement from the charity. So you go to your preparer and you say, you know, I donated $500 to my alma mater, and I want to take the deduction for it. And your preparer will say, well, where's your written acknowledgement? And if you don't have it, you lose out on that legitimate deduction.
Yeah. And sometimes you donate an object, you donate some property or something of value. How do you determine what the value is?
Well, that's challenging. People who donate their used clothing and household goods may also be entitled to take a deduction, but again, you have to figure out how to do the valuation, and there are a lot of suggestions in J.K. Lasser's Your Income Tax 2017 on how to determine that.
Okay, so I'm going through just the table of contents, because I have to admit I haven't read the entire book.
Who does? That's the point. It's not a novel that you sit down and start on page one. It's a reference book that you turn to for general information on a specific topic, or there are whole sections for planning so that you may want to look in the section, for example, on education and see all the different tax breaks that are available out there for saving for higher education, for paying for higher education. And so then you would go to some to a chapter like that, and then you'll get the information that you need.
Yeah, I have to say it's very comprehensive. Now, that brings us around to the idea that this is your income tax 2017 for preparing the 2016 tax return. You mentioned that there are always changes. This big book that we've probably all seen at one time or another has gone through enormous updates over the years. And so I want to figure out what are some of the important updates that we need to know for the 2016 tax filing.
The most important thing you need to know is that there's a new filing deadline. So we have some extra time this year. Instead of the usual April 15th, the deadline is April 18th. And that date is critical for a number of things. If you don't think you're going to be able to file by that date, ask for a filing extension. If that date passes and you haven't asked for a filing extension, you're subject to late filing penalties. That date is also important because it's the last time that you have to make contributions to an IRA or a health savings account for your 26 return. So even though the year is closed, there's still opportunities for saving on your 26 return by taking action this year. So that's really one of the most important changes. Another one impacts anybody who may have foreign accounts. And it's just amazing how many people this impacts. This may be people who inherited money overseas or who used to work overseas and maintain foreign financial accounts. There's an annual reporting with the Treasury. Now, I'm not talking about the IRS now. I'm talking about the Treasury. And you used to have to file that by June 30th. That date has moved up this year. So now you have the same deadline as the income tax return for doing what's called your FBAR reporting with the Treasury. And so that's a new critical date to take note of.
Why does the Treasury need to know that stuff?
This has been, the Treasury has been able to collect billions of dollars that previously went unreported because people used to, and this is, doesn't apply to everybody, but a number of people tried to hide money in foreign accounts. And so by requiring disclosure, it incentivizes people to not only tell the government about the accounts, but to report the income from those accounts. And if you don't do it and they find out about it, which they have done through cooperating with foreign banks and such, then you face stiff penalties.
One other area that I would think would be very important, and I think a lot of people don't really understand the implications of the Affordable Care Act, and for that matter, I think folks have a hard time with medical and dental expenses and figuring out how they can and can't use those deductions as well.
Well, you're right, and there's breaking news on this front, because on the tax return, there's a box which you're supposed to check to indicate whether you've had the required health coverage for the whole year. And if you don't check that box, you were supposed to file another form explaining when you did have the coverage, were you exempt from having required coverage. This was all part of the individual mandate under the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
Just last week, the IRS indicated, as a result of President Trump's sort of putting things on hold with respect to the Affordable Care Act, that the IRS will, in fact, process returns regardless of whether the box is checked. So if you're filing electronically or by paper, the return will be processed. I have to say that really nobody knows what the result will be, because we don't know what's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act. we know there are discussions about repeal and replace, but does that impact 2016 returns, only 2017 returns? We don't know. So we have to kind of stay tuned on that one.
But if you did not have health insurance, there would, theoretically, I suppose, still be a penalty that would be imposed.
Well, that's the open question. Yes, if there hadn't been an executive order, then clearly there would be a penalty for not having the for not complying with the individual mandate. But now we don't know whether, in fact, that penalty will be imposed. And so we have to kind of wait and see. And certainly people should try to stay on top of what's going on if they're in that category.
I mentioned medical and dental expenses as an area that confuses a lot of people. Sometimes people, when they get confused about an area, they just overlook it completely. And I imagine there are a lot of different areas that people kind of miss out on deductions that they're rightly entitled to.
Well, you're right. Let me preface my remarks by saying that two-thirds of individuals use the standard deduction, which means they don't itemize their personal expenses like medical costs, mortgage interest, charitable contributions. They just take the standard deduction, and they don't have to be concerned with what they paid and keeping receipts for these itemized expenses. But for that other third, this is a big deal because these are significant write-offs that can save on your tax bill. So, for example, when it comes to medical expenses, you can deduct costs that aren't covered by insurance or reimbursed in any other way through like an FSA or any other kind of health plan as an itemized deduction to the extent that the total amount exceeds a percentage of your adjusted gross income. And for 2016 returns, it depends on your age. So for most taxpayers, it's 10% of adjusted gross income. You eat the first 10%. But for those who are 65 and older, it's 7.5% of adjusted gross income. Supposedly, this is the last year of that 7.5% threshold. In 2017, it's set to go to 10% for everybody. But again, who knows under coming tax reform?
Hmm. When should we go from that standardized deduction to an itemized deduction? Is there some threshold there?
Well, there is. I mean, you have to look at what the standard deduction amount is, and it depends on your filing status, filing jointly, head of household, single, surviving spouse. And so you have to look at what the applicable amount is. And every year that changes due to adjustments for cost of living. With that said, just as a general rule, if you're in a high income tax state, if you have a big mortgage, so you're paying a lot of interest, if you had a lot of medical expenses, if you had made a lot of charitable contributions, if you add all that up, then you really should check out whether itemizing makes sense for you. And the good news is when you're dealing with computer programs or a paid preparer, you can run the return in both ways and use whichever option is better for you, whether it's itemizing or the standard deduction.
But again, the idea is you've got to kind of know what you're doing as the year progresses or gather your stuff at the end of the year.
Absolutely. You have to just start the year out thinking, I'm going to itemize, so I better keep all my receipts to back up any of the deductions I might be able to claim at the end of the year.
I tell you what, anybody who does their taxes or prepares a little bit their financial situation to present to a preparer can probably use this book, J.K. Lasser's Income Tax 2017, for preparing your 2016 tax return, your Income Tax 2017, and the website you said, jklasser.com.
Correct.
J.K. Lasser, and that's L-A-S-S-E-R, jklasser.com. It's just a tremendous reference. And you'll find out some other interesting ideas as well when you go to jklasser.com, including all the latest updates. So it's not just the big book, it's the website as well. And we're talking with Barbara Weltman. She's a contributing editor, and I got to say, you have a lot of knowledge when it comes to taxes. We will tap into your knowledge as we continue our conversation. talking about your income tax 2017. More in just a moment. Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us. We're talking with Barbara Weltman. She is a contributing editor with J.K. Lasser and jklasser.com and J.K. Lasser's big book, Your Income Tax 2017. Now, Barbara, here on this program, we talk a lot about investing. Tax rules are just vital to understand, particularly when it comes to investing, whether it be in securities or in real estate or anywhere else. What are some of the important things that investors need to know?
Well, be on the lookout for your 1099B from your brokerage firm, your mutual fund, which will report the activities for 2016. They have a little bit of time to get that to you. Some initial forms have gone out. Some are saying that they won't be out till the beginning of March, so you have to be on the lookout. This is vital for preparing your return, and it will indicate to you all the information that you need for completing your return. In other words, if you made a sale, what the sales proceeds were, what your tax basis was, and you're only paying gain on the difference or taking a loss on the difference. That's the critical information that you want to be looking for.
And some people maybe need to determine whether they're a trader or an investor.
Well, that's true. And most people are investors. People who are traders, there's no bright line test. There's no magic number of trades that you have to make in a year to become a trader. But your activities have to be regular and substantial in order to be a trader. And if you are a trader, there is an opportunity to elect a special accounting method, mark to market, and that will change the way you report your transactions.
Above and beyond that, you say figuring out your cost basis. That's gotten easier over the years, I think, just because so much of this is automated at this point through our brokerages that we work with.
It's true.
It can still get tricky, particularly when you could do something like reinvested dividends, for example.
Well, that's absolutely true. You have to make sure that you factor in any reinvested dividends. Remember, you pay tax on those dividends, so that becomes part of your basis. And if you ignore that, then you're in effect paying tax twice on the same money. So that is part of your basis. Also, check for basis when it comes to securities that you acquired before the brokerage firms and mutual funds had to do this basis reporting. If you have that information, you can tell the firm about it, and they'll enter that information and track it for you. Another tricky thing comes when you inherit property or get it by gift, and different basis rules apply. And so you're right. It can be a confusing area.
And I got to say, a lot of great information in here as well for real estate investors. If you're a landlord, what happens if there's a canceled lease? What happens if you grant an easement? A lot of little things that you may not think about that have tax consequences. And again, back to this tremendous reference book, J.K. Lasser's Your Income Tax 2017. Barbara, you've been doing this a long time, clearly knowledgeable. What would be the one little bit of advice you'd like to leave our listeners with today regarding their taxes?
Well, the sooner you get to paying attention to it, the easier it will be. You don't wait till the last minute. At that point, you may not be able to get information that you need to complete your return. If for any reason you don't have the information, you haven't received, for example, a Schedule K-1 from an S corporation, partnership, trust, or estate that you have an interest in, just ask for a filing extension, and then that will give you the time you need to complete your return correctly. But just remember, getting a filing extension doesn't give you more time to pay your taxes. Pay as much as you think you're going to owe by April 18th, or you'll start to build up interest and penalties on the outstanding taxes due.
Your Income Tax 2017, J.K. Lasser's big book on income taxes, and more info at jklasser.com. www.tax.com. Barbara, great info. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.